Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Terror Jab Radio Network.
In your face.
Boyer Online. 24-7. 24-7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
D-O-C-R. The voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight, so let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. And riding cohort shotgun tonight, Hugh Mash. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
Good evening, everyone. Glad you could make it tonight. It is Thursday, July the 10th, 2014, 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. on the East Coast, and of course, 4 a.m. London, England. It's 20 degrees Celsius in Calgary this evening. That's 80 degrees or so Fahrenheit for our imperial friends. Before we get to the show, we do have a weather warning for our good neighbors down the south of the province, Clara's Home, Lethbridge, Fort McLeod and the likes. We have a thunderstorm heading your way, so take cover. Apparently it's delivering some nickel to quarter size hail, so we ask that you be careful out there tonight. Co-host Hugh is away on business. Hopefully he'll return next week. Tonight we shall explore the news and events which continue to erode freedom around the world. I hope you'll join in on the conversation. Phone number is 347-324-3287. Or if you'd like to send an email after the fact, vocr2012@gmail.com. Now, last Thursday, we began the show with an Amber Alert. 11 days ago, the City of Calgary Police issued an Amber Alert for a young lad who had disappeared along with his grandparents from the grandparents' home in Calgary. Now, let's make this clear. The grandparents are not suspect. They're also missing, and there was signs of struggle, including some blood and scuff marks in their home. The little lad was staying there overnight, having a sleepover with his grandparents. Nathan O'Brien and his grandparents, Kathy, 56, and Alvin Lickness, 66, were discovered missing at 10 a.m. Mountain Time Monday, July the 1st, after Nathan's mother went back to the house to pick him up from the sleepover. An Amber Alert was issued at 5:15 p.m. Mountain Time that day, and police said there are signs that the three did not leave the house willingly. Now, Calgary police are asking anyone who attended an estate sale at the home on the weekend before to come forward. So far, about 88 people or so out of 200 have made contact with the Calgary police. We'd like the rest of the people to make contact. Even if you didn't see anything or you don't think you have anything to contribute, please contact the Calgary City Police and let them know you were there so they may ask you some questions which you may be able to assist in their investigation. So if you know anything about this issue or may have information, please call the Calgary City Police at 403-266-1234 or call the Crime Stoppers line at 1-800-222-8477. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, let's pray for their safe return. After 11 days, you can imagine the pain that the family is experiencing. If you'd like to show your support, go to the website NathanCathyAlvin.com. Now, let's do the official Amber Alert, and then we'll get on with the show.
The Calgary Police Service continues to investigate the suspicious disappearance of three people and are seeking the public's help for information. Investigators are asking anyone who attended an estate sale at the residence in the 100 block of 38 A Avenue Southwest over the weekend, June 28th and 29th, 2014. Nathan's mom and his younger sibling had been at the residence assisting with the estate sale on Sunday afternoon. Nathan's mom left the residence with her youngest child around 10 p.m., leaving Nathan to have a sleepover with his grandparents.
Nathan, your mom and dad, Luke, and Maximus, and your whole family loves you to every star and back. Nathan, you are our superhero right now, and we're going to bring you home very soon. Nathan, God is taking care of your soul, and mom and dad need you to be brave right now. To whoever has Nathan, please find it in your heart to drop off our little angel, Nathan, to which he can be rescued and reunited with his brothers and his family. To the public, our son and family could be anywhere right now. If you have any information, anything at all, please contact the police. We are grateful for all the support from everyone we have received online, our family and friends. Nathan, we love you big. We will see you soon.
Nathan's mother, Jennifer O'Brien, and I'm the daughter of Alvin and Kathy Lickness. Nathan, I need you to hear my voice right now, and I need you to know that Mommy and Daddy love you more than anything in this world. We can't be with you right now, but the best people that can be with you other than us is your grandparents, and I know Grandma's holding you so tightly right now and taking care of you, and they are doing everything in their power to keep you safe, so I need you to know that. Stay strong, Nathan. Stay strong. We know you are our superhero, and I just need you to stay strong, and we are going to see you. We're going to see you, and we love you so much.
If you know anything about this issue or may have information, please call the Calgary City Police Service at 403-266-1234 or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477.
The voice continues after this. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
A terrible situation, and we're hoping for a good resolve to this Amber Alert. And on a personal note, look, if you were responsible for this action in any way, you have to know that you're going to be hunted throughout North America. Law enforcement will not let this rest. I can tell you that your relationships will be haunted by this act. Anytime you have a meal, it'll never taste the same. Any drink that you have, it'll taste a little bit more sour. Your dreams will be haunted, and you shall be found. So I advise you to keep looking over your shoulder. Watch every word that you say and who you speak to, because you will be captured and prosecuted. And when you are, the full weight of the law will be brought down upon you. Your only salvation is to contact somebody. Bring these people home. Bring home Nathan, Alvin, and Kathy. Let's take a break.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
And shout outs tonight to Jasmine from Texas. Jasmine, keep those border information links coming. We appreciate it. We do add them to the blog to the Spy Gazette and the Underground Stories and the Boots on the Ground. So we do appreciate it. David from Florida, who's a longtime listener and a contributor, is celebrating a 68th birthday this week. Many more to come, sir. Look forward to you having many years with us, listening to the VOCR. And to the Scottish lass, I hope you're enjoying the stampede and those well-earned rewards will be coming your way very soon. And last but not least, to the Southeast Brickies' much better half, camping, cowboy hats, you? Here in Calgary, we're in the seventh day of the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. Sunday is the final Yahoo, 10 days of Western Frontier fun, when a major Canadian city returns to the Western Frontier. Truly a great yearly event, when millions of dollars are spent remembering how the West was truly won. Those of you around the world who cannot make it to the Stampede, you can at least have a little taste of it through video feeds and links. We advise you to go to Calgary Stampede, one word, calgarystampede.com, or dial into cbc.ca or ctv.ca. Type Calgary Stampede in your search engine, and it's definitely worth the look.
Email, Governor.
And Ted from Birmingham, England, emailed me. She said, great show, solid information, but need more British content. Well, Ted, we've heard that a number of times, and we are working on it. And you'll be pleasantly surprised in the next little while. Mike from West Germany, serving with the Canadian Forces. Thank you for serving, sir. Mike emailed, thanks for keeping Canadians aware of world events. I read your Spy Gazette blog daily. We pray for Nathan and his grandparents. Indeed, Dave, we do hold Nathan and grandparents in our thoughts as we do this show tonight and every night until they're safely returned. William from Vancouver wrote, remember the boat people crisis in Canada? America should send the illegals home. Well, thanks, William. We will be discussing that a little bit more tonight. We appreciate your input. Remember, anytime you feel like weighing in on tonight's topics, 347-324-3287, or come to the show website and join the virtual studio chat room. You can get that at blogtalkradio.com/terrorchatnet, one word. As we go to air tonight, of course, the Ukraine, Syria, Libya, Iraq, Israel, Mexico, South America, Philippines, North Korea, Asian Pacific, all in a pseudo-state of war, fired up by radical factions claiming religious rights to force citizens to surrender their freedoms. Israel and Hamas are at each other's throats as we go to air, with Israel mounting a full offensive, calling on 40,000 reserves and targeting hundreds of Hamas buildings and military storage facilities. While Hamas continue to fire missiles into Israel, hitting Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, Hamas rockets target Israel's Dimona nuclear reactor late this afternoon, which is causing a great deal of concern. Now, information from the Israeli ambassador states that Hamas are using Iranian rockets to attack Israel. Go figure. Now, the Western think tanks believe this action will, of course, escalate, and Iran and ISIS will get into the battle soon with Israel, and Obama continues to play down our historical solemn promise to defend Israel at any cost. ISIS continues their slaughter and rampage in Iraq and Syria, destroying holy shrines and mosques, beheading clerics who refuse to swear allegiance to their cause. Children are raped and slaughtered in the name of a bastardized religion, which has been hijacked by insane leaders bent on creating a totalitarian region. Christians in the region are living in terror as ISIS eradicate religious shrines and history and slaughtering Christians as they find them. Recent reports have proved that sarin gas chemicals have been found in Syria, although they claim that Syria is clear of chemical weapons. Now, the sarin gas chemicals they have found apparently originated back in the United Kingdom and were delivered pre-war 1999 before the embargo took effect. And of course, the military-industrial complex continues to supply weapons to fight unholy wars around the world. In Iraq, reports are surfacing that ISIS now have in their possession 81 pounds of uranium taken from the research facility at the University of Mosul. Now, this is a game changer for the West. Yet Western powers are reluctant to re-engage in Iraq after taking such a financial beating from Afghanistan and Iraq in the previous assaults. The enemies of the West were patient. They waited. They waited while Western forces flew through. They watched the ship after ship remove containers of weapons and supplies from Qatar, Dubai, and UAE. And then once removed, the enemy struck hard. They overpowered the fragile Iraq military, many of which dropped their weapons and ran. A few days ago, a group of so-called Syrian resistors who were armed by the Obama administration have now sworn allegiance to ISIS. The weapons provided by Obama's agenda are now in the hands of these maniacal murderers. Some believe that the West should re-enter Iraq and eradicate ISIS. What's your opinion? 347-324-3287 live or VOCR2012@gmail.com if you'd like to give us your opinion.
These last few years we've seen an unacceptable abuse of power. Having a president whose priority is expanding his own power. Any guess on who said that? Mr. Speaker, it was Senator Barack Obama. Here's another one. No law can give Congress a backbone if it refuses to stand up as a co-equal branch. The Constitution made it. Senator Barack Obama. What do we do with a president who can basically change what Congress passed by attaching a letter saying, I don't agree with this part or that part? Senator Barack Obama. I taught the Constitution for 10 years. I believe in the Constitution. Senator Barack Obama. And my favorite, Mr. Speaker, one of the most important jobs of the Supreme Court is to guard against the encroachment of the executive branch on the power of the other branches. And I think the Chief Justice has been a little too willing and eager to give the President more power than I think the Congress or the Constitution originally intended. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is how in the world can you get before the Supreme Court if you don't have standing? What did the president mean by that when he looked to the Supreme Court to rein in executive overreach? If you don't have standing, how can you possibly get before the Supreme Court? So my question, Mr. Speaker, is what's changed? How does going from being a senator to a president rewrite the Constitution? What's different from when he was a senator? Mr. Speaker, we are not a country where the end justifies the means, no matter how good your motivations may be. We all swore an allegiance to the same document that the president swears allegiance to faithfully execute the law. So I will be listening intently during this debate for one of my colleagues to explain to me what that phrase means. What does it mean not to execute the law, but when the framers thought enough of that phrase to add the modifier faithfully? What does that mean? And if a president does not faithfully execute the law, Mr. Speaker, what are our remedies? Do we just sit and wait on another election? Do we use the power of the purse, the power of impeachment? Those are punishments. Those are not remedies. The remedy is to do exactly what Barack Obama said to do, to go to court, to go to the Supreme Court, and have the Supreme Court say once and for all, we don't pass suggestions in this body, Mr. Speaker. We don't pass ideas. We pass law, and we expect them to be faithfully executed.
The United States southern border with Mexico is currently under siege. Under siege from illegals attempting to enter, many of them children who are not accompanied by their parents. The current president, Barack Obama, has been accused of creating the crisis by removing security forces from the border, reducing funding, changing laws arbitrarily, and refusing to enforce current laws on the books. In 2006, the federal government passed a law requiring a continuous fence along the border, and yet to date only a few hundred miles have been completed as federal agencies retask funding elsewhere and Obama refusing to deport illegals. Military bases which once housed America's finest are now de facto immigration camps, and Obama requesting funding for lawyers to defend the process of the illegals, as well as more judges to rubber stamp immigration. Now, here's a breakdown of funding requested by President Barack Obama. $1.1 billion for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, including $879 million to pay for detention and removal of undocumented adults traveling with children. $116 million to ICE for transportation costs linked to apprehending unaccompanied children. $433 million for Homeland Security Border Patrol units to cover increased costs associated with apprehending unaccompanied children. $39.4 million to bolster air surveillance capabilities to detect illegal activity. $64 million more for the Department of Justice, including $45.4 million to hire about 40 more immigrant judges to expand the courtroom capacity. $50 million to fund legal representation services for children in immigration proceedings. And $1.8 billion for the Department of Health and Human Services to provide additional funding for appropriate care, including medical attention for unaccompanied children at the border facilities, $300 million for the Department of State, $295 million of which would go to repatriate migrants to their home countries and reintegrate them there, $5 million would fund media campaigns in Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, to spread the word that unaccompanied children crossing into the United States will be returned to their home countries. So how do you feel about the border crisis? Should the illegals be given access to U.S. services such as medical, welfare, housing, food stamps? 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, or if you'd like to send an editorial email, VOCR2012@gmail.com, and we'll make sure that it gets into the opinion piece of the Spy Gazette. So we have a big mess down on the border. We have civilians that are heading down to the border to do what the government is refusing to do. Border agents down on the border are powerless. Their government has told them to stand down. Trainloads of immigrants are heading towards the border. 1,300 immigrants were stranded on a train which broke down in Mexico heading for the border. And this is just one train of dozens. The word is out that Barack Hussein Obama is not about to enforce the immigration laws. He's not about to enforce the border laws. It's in their best interest to try and make it into the United States for amnesty. You can't blame families sending their children to the border in hopes of a better life. But many of these people that are arriving at the border are arriving with disease infestation, with lice, with all kinds of medical hardships. And these children need to be taken care of. They do need to be taken care of. As a good Christian, my good friend Mr. Beck has headed down to the border as a Christian to deliver some comfort and some hope to those children. But with that said, the medical care should be given. But all illegal immigrants, all illegals should be returned to their home. And one member of Congress stated it would cost $295 million to send them all back, to give them a plane ticket and send them home, instead of the $3.8 billion that Barack Hussein Obama is requesting. So where do we stand? Where do we go? Do you allow them into the country or not?
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on BlogTalkRadio.com in association with Spy Gazette and the TerraJab Radio Network.
But I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you can't answer these questions, then I'll leave you to draw whatever conclusion you want to draw about whether or not the media has provided sufficient oversight. Can you tell me why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi the night that he was killed? Do you know? Does it bother you whether or not you know why Chris Stevens was in Benghazi? Do you know why we were the last flag flying in Benghazi after the British had left and the Red Cross had been bombed? Do you know why requests for additional security were denied? Do you know why an ambassador asking for more security days and weeks before he was murdered and those requests went unheeded? Do you know the answer to why those requests went unheeded? Do you know why no assets were deployed during the siege? And I've heard the explanation, which defies logic, frankly, that we couldn't have gotten there in time, but you know they didn't know when it was going to end. So how can you possibly cite that as an excuse? Do you know whether the president called any of our allies and said, can you help? We have men under attack. Can you answer that? Do any of you know why Susan Rice was picked? The Secretary of State did not go. She says she doesn't like Sunday talk shows. That's the only media venue she does not like, if that's true. Why was Susan Rice on the 5 Sunday talk show? Do you know the origin of this mythology that it was spawned as a spontaneous reaction to a video? Do you know where that started? Do you know how we got from no evidence of that to that being the official position of the administration? In conclusion, Congress is supposed to provide oversight. The voters are supposed to provide oversight. And you are supposed to provide oversight. That's why you have special liberties, and that's why you have special protections. I am not surprised that the President of the United States called this a phony scam. I'm not surprised that Secretary Clinton asked, what difference does it make? I'm not even surprised that Jay Carney said Benghazi happened a long time ago. I'm just surprised at how many people bought it.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And the Benghazi investigation continues with the Select Committee. They have just received funding of $2.2 million to continue the Benghazi incident investigation. And it's not looking pretty. It sure sounds like a couple of the Obama administration people, including Obama and Secretary of State, most certainly dropped the ball. Now, going back to the Middle East, Obama has sent a few hundred troops to protect the embassy and Bagram airfield, and have sent some advisors to help the Iraqi military after ISIS entered Iraq and began taking city after city. Obama also sent aircraft carrier and frigates on station into the Gulf to provide support, although Obama has yet to action them into the fray. And they are waiting patiently, waiting to go to war on the president's orders, if it ever comes. Israel and Egypt have moved troops to its borders and are preparing for a long fight. Of course, we know that Israel is moving into Palestinian territory, into the West Bank, as we speak, and they are prepared to put an end to Hamas once and for all, even though Hamas are calling for talks and truce. It's a little late. You started firing missiles into Israel, and Israel retaliated. It is not the world's problem that you did not anticipate the level of retaliation that Israel would heap upon you. ISIS, the jihadist terror group, taking control of Syria's largest oil field, from a separate terrorist group. And interestingly enough, Muslim prayer rugs have been found on the Arizona border by independent American security contractors. With a porous border, we are receiving reports that Muslim extremists have entered the United States and are creating terrorist cells throughout the United States in preparation for a large-scale assault from within. Reports confirm that Muslim terrorists are paying $50,000 a group to sneak across the U.S. southern border with help from a number of drug cartels. And yet Obama continues to refuse to secure the border and enforce laws already on the books. So is Obama culpable? Is he committing or has he committed treason? Should he be impeached like many are saying, along with FBI Director Holder? 347-324-3287 if you get the urge to call. Or if you'd like to send an editorial after the fact, vocr2012@gmail.com. Or come on down to our virtual studio chat room and say your piece, blogtalkradio.com/terrorchatnet. And just scroll down and you'll see the chat room alive and flourishing. In other news, as the world burns, Obama has decided that he's about to go on vacation again. The White House late Wednesday confirmed that President Barack Obama and his family will return to Martha's Vineyard for 2 weeks of vacation in August. And interestingly enough, the Obama family has spent over $45 million on vacations since they seized power. I'm wondering, how much have you spent on vacations in the last 6 years? I bet it's nothing close to that, huh? 347-324-3287. Well, the official numbers of unemployment in the USA, according to the government, are looking fairly rosy at 6.1. However, what they don't tell you is that 90 million Americans are currently out of work, many not included in the official numbers anymore because they've fallen off the unemployment lists and are now spread between welfare and food stamp systems. Records show that black unemployment is 10.7, more than double white unemployment of 5.3. 15.2% of workers 18 to 29 are out of work. There's a huge problem out there. Chicago and Detroit, both suffering economic upheaval, bankruptcy, if you will. It is that bad. I found a channel the other night that was advertising American homes for sale. Some of them were being sold for the tax dollars owed, a couple of $1,000s, and you could buy a house down in the United States. Now, this just isn't in Illinois. This is in California, Florida, all over the Midwest. Throughout the United States, houses that have been repossessed or surrendered by people that are unable to afford the mortgage, they're now for sale, and they're going at fire sale prices. It's amazing. If you had a couple of $100,000, you could become a housing baron overnight. Now, in the United States, the IRS attorneys are scrambling after emails of Lois Lerner have surfaced, showing clear collusion and willful attempts to hide email information from the Congressional Committee. And as we go to air tonight, Congressman Steve Stockman has filed a resolution in the House directing the Sergeant at Arms to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress. Now, whether that will happen or not, I guess we'll find out tomorrow morning's early morning news. But as it stands right now, Steve Stockman is resolute in the fact that the Lois Lerner allegedly misled the Congress regarding the IRS scandal, and that she knowingly and willfully misled Congress, and Funnily enough, all of the IRS emails suddenly were lost on a crashed computer. But further forensic evidence is proving that the emails are available, and they are slowly coming to light. And the emails that have surfaced clearly show the collusion and willful attempts, and it's not going to be pretty. Of course, Congress have instantly slashed the IRS budget and are punishing the IRS by the only means possible at the current time, financial means, which means that there will be fewer IRS agents investigating. There will be fewer tax audits. So, you know, if your taxes are up to snuff, good for you. And if they're not, you're going to have a fight on your hands from the IRS because they need money. And when the IRS need money, there's only one set of people they come to, you, the taxpayer. And they will squeeze you until there's nothing left. So be on your guard. The Democrats have unveiled a bill to override the Supreme Court's ruling regarding the Hobby Lobby ruling. I'm sure everybody that watches the news understands that, placing free birth control above religious freedom. Democrats in both the Senate and the House on Wednesday announced legislation to right the alleged wrong done to women by the U.S. Supreme Court's recent Hobby Lobby ruling. Now, the Democrats' legislation has absolutely no chance of passing a divided Congress. But what it will do is serve as useful fundraising tool and a political gambit at the next election. You see, that's what they're counting on. They don't care about women's issues. They never have. What they care about is getting that extra foothold on an election. The election's in November. Are anticipated to hurt the Democrats after all of the illegal actions that have been claimed in the Obama administration. And if so, the Republicans will take the Hill, the Senate, and the Congress. And when they do that, you can bet your sweet bippy there will be impeachments. Barack Hussein Obama knows that. The Democrats know that. And most of all, the Republicans know that. Now, recently, there was a big hullabaloo on all of the mainstream media about the stock market, how it soared above 17,000 at the end of last week. Markets now, the close of business today, especially in Europe, are in a sell mode. They are selling as hard and as fast as they can in fear of a bank run in several European countries, while Russia and China continue building momentum to create a currency to rival the U.S. dollar and take the U.S. dollar away from being pegged to the sale of oil, the benchmark for the U.S. dollar. And it looks like Russia is actually gaining momentum with China in doing that. And when that's done, if the U.S. dollar is decoupled from the price of oil, then the U.S. dollar will be floating on its own, and the way they are going, the way they are printing money with nothing to back that money, they are running into a financial calamity. We've all seen the debt numbers for the United States, but what we haven't seen is the true debt of over $23 trillion. Now, Treasury officials in the U.S. are signaling that the stimulus that they've been pumping into the American economy each month of about $85 billion will probably end by October the 2014. And markets show nervous movement in the wake of that news. As we spoke last week, Argentina has missed a $539 million debt repayment and is on the verge of its second major debt default in 13 years. Bulgaria is desperately trying to calm down a massive run on the banks that threatens to spiral out of control throughout Europe. Last month, household loans in the Eurozone declined at the fastest rate ever recorded, Why are European banks holding onto their money so tightly right now is a question. A few days ago, it was reported that consumer prices in Japan are rising at the fastest pace in 32 years. Household expenditures in Japan are down 8% compared to 1 year ago. U.S. companies are drowning in massive amounts of debt. But the corporate debt bubble in China is so bad that the amount of corporate debt in China has actually now surpassed the amount of corporate debt in the United States. One Chinese auditor is warning that up to $80 billion worth of loans in China are backed by falsified gold transactions. So what will that do to the price of gold and the stability of Chinese financial markets as that mess unwinds? The unemployment rate in Greece is currently sitting at 26.7%, and the youth unemployment rate is 56.8%. 67.5% of the people that are unemployed in Greece have been unemployed for over a year. The unemployment rate in the Eurozone as a whole is 11.8%, just a little bit shy of the all-time record of 12%. And the European Central Bank is so desperate to get money moving through the system that it has actually introduced negative interest rates. They will pay you to take their money. I bet they don't offer that to the average person, huh? The IMF is projecting that there is a 25% chance that the Eurozone will slip into deflation by the end of next year. The World Bank is warning that now is the time to prepare for the next crisis. And the economic conflict between the United States and Russia continues to deepen. This has caused Russia to make a series of moves away from the U.S. dollar and towards other major currencies. Now this will have serious ramifications for the global financial system as time rolls along. Now, we've been speaking about this for over 3 years. We have been on the air every week telling you what's happening in the world. The world is spiraling into the abyss. Governments are powerless. The more they try, the worse it gets. And of course, you have the maniacal factions in the Middle East and elsewhere that are bent on destroying the Western system. And bin Laden, before his untimely death, the date to be decided, because we really don't know when he died, bin Laden said, if you want to kill the West, kill their financial districts, kill their money. Don't take them on with bullets, take them on with finance. And that is exactly what has happened over the last 10 to 15 years. And of course, it doesn't help when the military-industrial complex that President Ronald Reagan warned everybody about in the 60s is pushing their products into these collapsing nations and arming those who can do the worst to anybody that gets in their way. Something I never thought I would see in Colorado is a pot shop, you know, marijuana shop, is now accepting food stamps. Yep, taxpayer-funded marijuana for welfare recipients. Can you believe that? I know one guy that can. Mr. Al Sharpton.
But resist, we must. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortis in the race. Then co-author of Hubris. You two, lead singer Bono. Fran Drescher. Sigourney Weaver. Suspect Jahar Sanayev. Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh. The show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery. Yesterday, Antonin Scalia. Kim Kardashian and the Republican candidates. For Cairo and Benghazi. We rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Protection Agency and what sequestration has done.
Ah,
yes, Mr. Al Sharpton, one of the brightest minds in the DNC.
The Voice continues after this. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com or on air live 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
More than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
Now, of course, economies all over Europe are either showing no growth or are shrinking. All you have to do is go to Forbes. Check out the numbers from around the world, and you will realize that whatever mainstream media are telling you is a lie. Whenever mainstream media asks you to believe in them, they are lying. They are pumping the government rhetoric. They are the propaganda arm for the current government. And their information is inaccurate. Their information is a lie, and their information proves that mainstream media are nothing more than rating whores. It is their job to get ratings so that they can increase the value of their advertising, and once they increase the value of their advertising, they make more money. The information that they are spouting to you is irrelevant. The only relevancy is that you are either stupid or ignorant enough to listen and watch their station. The Alphabet Networks have been fighting against telling the truth about Barack Hussein Obama and his henchmen. They fought against telling people really what's happening. All of those people that are now cut off from their water sources because they couldn't pay their bills, soon will be cut off from their electric sources because they can't pay their bills. Because the new EPA rules that came out is going to decimate any coal-fired power plants. And for them to operate, they will pay huge penalties to the government in a form of carbon tax. And that cost will be borne by the subscriber, by the people using that electricity. That price is going up. Can you imagine in the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen, human beings, families who are either working hard or trying to work, not having fresh water, not being able to drink fresh water because their local councils have cut them off for non-payment? Water. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, probably last month sometime, that no longer are guns and bombs totally required to bring down a country or a city. Something as simple as fresh water will destroy a nation. In the Middle East, there's squabbles over water already. There's been threats on the Anwar Dam. Neighboring factions are preparing to attempt to blow it up so the water will run freely. There's fighting in Iraq for water sources. Of course, Afghanistan is a hellhole, going through an election, two people claiming that they won, no clear victory, the Taliban moving back into Afghanistan after NATO forces have pulled out, reestablishing their ownership, if you will, on the people, beating them into a pulp, slaughtering and murdering to bring them under control of some maniacal, bastardized religion that they believe is the one and only religion. The world is in a mess, ladies and gentlemen, and it's in a mess because the West is not prepared to re-enter a military action at the cost that it cost for the last 12 years. You see, Bin Laden was right. Let them spend their money. Draw down their resources. Destroy their equipment so they have to replace it at a vast cost. Bullets don't have to be fired. The financial services have to be destroyed. And that's exactly what is happening in this world, ladies and gentlemen. Now, is it being done by the maniacal terrorists? Yes. Is it being done by New World Order, the Illuminati? Possibly. There will be a New World Order, whether we like it or not. The signs are on the wall. How you will fit into this is that you will be in servitude. You and I will serve the greater government. We will pay our taxes. They will work us harder for less. Food prices are going up. Fuel costs are astronomical. I'm not sure of the cost down in the United States, but hey, here in Calgary, $1.27 a liter. Now, I believe there's 5.3 liters, 3.5 liters to an imperial gallon. We are paying huge. Obama is refusing to allow the pipelines. XL pipeline is stalled, waiting for Obama to give the nod. Security, safety of North America is paramount. We need to be able to A, secure our borders, B, secure our fuel source and the food source, and C, secure our citizens. And to do that, we need a radical new look at government. We need a new approach that we don't have with the Obama administration. The Obama administration are hell-bent on tearing up any agreements and contracts that were previously made with the American people or with countries abroad. They are hell-bent on forcing you, the average worker, to pay more. We've seen that with Obamacare. The cost of Obamacare is atrocious. And they say that there are millions of people that have signed up on Obamacare that they can't even qualify if they exist, or whether they're legal to be in the country. And 90% of the sign-ups are already on subsidy. So in other words, they're already on the government payroll. The government is paying the freight, which means you, the taxpayer, are paying the freight. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now Barack Hussein Obama wants $3.8 billion to work on the border issue. Down in Texas and the Mexican border. $3.8 billion of your money to fix a problem that his administration created. And that's not all. If you think that's all, that's not all. That's just a start. After that, Obama is going to come after clean fuel. And he wants to get rid of carbon by taxing everything. And of course, getting rid of carbon is not the easiest thing because you and I are a carbon life form. So think about this. As you go about your business tonight and tomorrow, talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to your brothers and sisters, your mothers and fathers, and discuss the problem. Discuss the problem with the border. Discuss the problem in the Middle East. Discuss the problems around the world. Because discussion is what is going to be required to take action. Or you can blindly follow what mainstream media tell you, that everything is fine. They just need you to work a little harder and, oh yeah, earn a little bit more so you can pay a little bit more. That's the name of the game. That's the name of any government's game. They want your money. They want your money so they can spend it. Not so they can spend it accurately, and not so they can spend it to make a better world, but so they can spend it, period. Now, I said a few weeks ago, maybe even last week I said it as well, when Joanna from New York was on the line. I said a few weeks ago that as far as I'm concerned, all monies going to other nations should be cut off. Every penny. Until you find out who is friend and who is foe. It makes no sense to me why we would pay billions of dollars into the Palestinian lands for the Palestinians to turn around and want us dead. I see no reason why billions of dollars should be paid into Afghanistan or Iraq when they want us dead. Maliki couldn't wait to get rid of Western forces out of Iraq. They refused to make any deals, and Obama was too high on his own horse not to come down from his perch, and a stay of forces agreement was never arranged, and withdrawal commenced. But the moment Maliki got himself in any trouble, the moment there was a twitch of problems, who did he call upon? The Western world to help him. Expecting the Western world to pour in their troops, pour in their money to protect Iraq so he would look like a prime minister. And it didn't happen. And now Maliki is worried. ISIS have taken at least a third of Iraq. They are fighting with the Kurds in the north to try and take the oil fields of the north, although the Kurds are repelling them. They've taken a huge swath of Syria. Libya has turned into a hellhole, a complete lawless country, controlled by Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab. The Africas are falling apart as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab move their maniacal forces through there, slaughtering everything in sight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble. Don't let mainstream media tell you any different. We are seriously in trouble. And the only thing that's going to get us out of here is a new look, a new idea, a new thought process. We must think of everything but surrender. The Obama administration have closed their eyes and plugged their ears, hoping they don't hear the negative, saying that everything is fine and dandy, everything is lovely, everything is fine, don't worry, we'll be all right, we'll work it out. We'll make it through. But ladies and gentlemen, unless you and I, the voting public in Canada and the United States, don't step up and tell our governments they are wrong and that there has to be a different way, then we will slide into the abyss and we will never be able to repay the debts that we have encountered and created on our watch. Now, as we end the night tonight, a little disappointed we didn't get any phone calls, but it's such a heavy subject, I can understand why. But I'm looking forward to a healthy email return, vocr2012@gmail.com. Send me your opinions, your ideas. Send an editorial that we can put in the Spy Gazette. Say your piece. Communicate. Discuss. Go on your Facebook, discuss the matters. Communication is the only way we're going to get through this, ladies and gentlemen. Communication and a government that is prepared to listen and prepared to follow the will of the people. Because that's what it's about, the will of the people.
got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio.